time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome. It is a welcome to the show. I'm the Cash Man, and I'm going to be joined by Danger Boy in here in just a minute. We jump into the introduction. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 10th. Holidays today. Lazy Day. National S'mores Day. And World Lion Day. Birthdays today. Some really good birthdays today in the world of pro wrestling. We've got Fred Ottman. You might remember him as Tugboat, or even more infamously as the Shockmaster. He's 65 today. Savio Vega is 59. Wade Barrett, who is in our news today. You may have noticed he was on Monday Night Raw this past week. Right? Wade Barrett's 43 today. Congo Kong is 44. And Amish Roadkill is 47 today. So there's a lot of birthdays today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don Slight Empire Culver. Interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater, officiate, help out in some way? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show this evening. It's a Thursday evening. I am your humble host, Cashman. I'm joined by Danger Boy. What's up, Danger Boy?
Not too much. Just hanging out.
It's, I was like a few seconds late there because I actually wanted to get something to eat before we started. So I let it hang out to about 8.5 minutes before we started up. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. We bearded for her pleasure. Interesting. You always have an interesting t-shirt. I got my man I hate, probably one of the most hated wrestlers I've ever experience or ever liked or not liked is the Ultimate Warrior, of course. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and we will jump into it. Before we get into it, man, I just want to see what you guys in the chat room as well think about, you know, this boat dock thing in Alabama. I've seen so many funny things. I've seen like someone superimpose Rob Van Dam kicking a chair into somebody's head. There's, you know, what I'm talking about, Danger.
The commentary over it, the Jerry Lawler, Jim Ross commentary.
I've seen that too. I like when they start putting in the Avengers Endgame with the portals opening up and people showing up through it.
I have never seen anybody use a folding chair like a wrestler in real life before until that.
Yeah. Someone was getting whacked. There's a few people who got whacked by that chair. So I just find it amazing, you know, it's amazing in stupidity by the guys that started the whole thing. Of course, they did get arrested eventually. But I've never seen more funny stuff this past week online on TikTok. There's one on TikTok that is, I mean, you know, the guy swimming in the water now is known as Aquaman, right? M-A-Y.
I had not seen that.
Oh, yeah. A-C-Q-U-A-M-A-Y-N-E, Aquaman. I've seen that lots of, oops, sorry, kicked the microphone. I've seen that lots of times. I think it's pretty funny. I just think it's just, you know, this past week, there's a little levity in the world by everybody ganging up on some very, very dumb people in Alabama, man, you know? And they deserved it, you know?
Yeah, that was quite a humorous start to the week.
Yeah. You know, have you ever seen, and let me just get off on a tangent just for a second. It's not like we're trying to, stretch anything or anything. We'll probably go way too long as it is. But do you ever seen, you ever been on Reels before and catch the girl who's like starving because she hadn't eaten all day and they were going to go to some chicken wing place? What's it? What the heck is that place called? It's a national chain chicken wing place.
I have not seen that one.
Yeah, it's hilarious. This girl's like, she's like screaming at people because she's hungry because she hadn't eaten all day, and they're making fun of her in the back seat of the car, and it's like, and they just put it to music and stuff. Now it's really, really funny. So if you ever get a chance to see that, but let's talk about the World Pro Wrestling. Hey, you know what? We did a show early last week. It was actually Friday night, so we didn't even really get to talk. SummerSlam was the next day, which let's talk a little bit about SummerSlam. A lot of things happened at SummerSlam. You know, it was like one of those pay-per-views where you got a lot of satisfaction if you wanted to see certain things, you know. Saw new champions crowned, We saw Logan. I remember when we were going down the matches last week, and I said about how Logan Paul had like never won a match yet, and all the times he was there.
He has.
He must have been listening. He must have been like, oh, and but the way he did it was great for being a heel. So welcoming the heel he will get from it. But what did you think of SummerSlam overall? I mean, besides the fact that I'll admit I did not often it, but I also had worked all day doing a bunch of other things before I got to it. So.
Yeah, by the time the end of that last match came, it was late. Until that point, I enjoyed the show, and I enjoyed that last match, but it was slow. It took too long.
Yeah, it was
late.
There's
no reason they had to call it tribal warfare, and I was ready for that to be done. And it was another very predictable outcome, but I think it's going to spawn off into its own tangent of a story and not involve Roman in that part. So that'll be a bonus.
This is a way to get him out of the, out of his group, have them fight with each other and he can move on to something else. Though I've heard rumors that Rikishi is going to have something to do with this coming up. There's been a lot of rumors about him.
That wouldn't be surprising at all for him to show up with his sons fighting each other. But Gunther and Drew was a fun match. Yeah. Logan Paul and Ricochet was a fun match. It wasn't nearly as spot festy as I thought it was going to be. I thought they were going to try to build up like one big spot, but they actually had a decent match.
Yeah.
The women's title match was really good. And had the surprise at the end.
We got a title change. We got two title changes. Women's title changed hands twice. So from Bianca winning it to
Bianca did a really good job of selling that knee injury that wasn't.
Bianca obviously got hurt, and then out came Io Sky, and now Io Sky is a women champ. And then we saw I saw a lot of people making big deals about Dakota Kai showing up after that, because Dakota Kai didn't, apparently wherever Dakota Kai lives, it was like 10 in the morning and she wasn't answering her phone. And she's like, it's my day, I sleep in. And then when she finally looked at her phone, there was like, she said Bailey had sent a text saying, we need you here. And it's like, so she had to like immediately scramble to get to Detroit, she had time. Apparently
it was a nice gesture for them to have her show up for that. Cause she tore an ACL. She's nowhere near ready to come back.
Yeah. And maybe she wasn't expecting it. I don't know. They probably, but because they're a team, it makes sense that they would want her to be there as well to celebrate, and we'll see where that goes. It's interesting to see. I mean, is that a strictly a SmackDown thing now? Is that title? I mean,
yeah, that's the SmackDown title.
Yeah. So let me throw this out. Well, before even the pay per view happened, we've got the big announcement that they were mixing up the announcers in WWE. So now, Michael Cole's doing both shows. I bet you he's not thrilled about that.
He's probably not thrilled because he's got to travel all the time. But he's also probably thrilled that they view him as completely that the networks and everybody. and Endeavor and everybody view him as completely indispensable at this point.
Yeah, the new owner of WWE is like, we want the guy to be, we have a signature guy for our product. I'm guessing the head separate just because that's what you do when you do a brand split, you know? I mean, and you give more jobs to other people, you know, like announcers and stuff.
I'm sure he was still, I know he like helps.
He oversees
coach up. He oversees all the announcers and he helps coach them and stuff like that. So he might have been there on Mondays anyways.
Yeah,
that's true. But it's not, since he doesn't have a certain crazy old man at the show every week yelling in his ear, he's become a much more enjoyable announcer.
Yeah, I do. I like him. I mean, he's just as bad as any other face shill who's main announcer, like right in the same mold as Jim Ross in Jim Ross's heyday in WWE. You know, I loved it when in Monsoon too. You know, I mean, you know, guilting out the bad guys in matches and stuff because they do things. You know, so
oh, yeah.
You know, so that you know that's all you know. Probably based on Vince McMahon, the way he used to announce as well. I'm sure he has a high expectation for anybody in that. And I would never want to work as an announcer for them. Got to be able to on the fly. I mean, you have to have information being fed into your head all the time while you're talking. That's like so just, you know, disrupting, you know, and as you're trying to speak.
You're not just calling the show. You're calling everything they want you to mention.
Yeah, yeah.
That's happening in that show, the next show, not during that show, commercial breaks, all the sponsors, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah, so, you know, and I don't take anything against Patrick for him, but he got, that's why, you know, Michael Cole was added to that team, you know.
And apparently they do like him a lot. He's just, they're just giving him some help.
Yeah, then they want Michael Cole to be the face of both shows. When you start the show, that's what they want to see. So that was it. So that was news right before before the pay-per-view. And then we had the pay-per-view. And then it's funny how I was listening Monday night to listen to Wade Barrett talking about how happy he is to be on Raw. He gets 3 hours, and I think a lot of people are excited because of how well he clicks with, and it's his birthday today, by the way, and he clicks with Michael Cole, you know, as an announcer. So, Wade's an interesting announcer. He plays the heel announcer sometimes, you know, but most of the time he's...
Well, there's other times he backs up the faces, and when the heel does something particularly, you know, despicable, he'll back up the faces and not like, or there's just certain heels he doesn't like.
Probably, you know, I mean.
And he can yell tsunami now with Big Bronson Reed.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. So, let's get back to SummerSlam real quick because I did want to mention the announcers change and everything. And they did, I think they did bring it up during the pay-per-view, you know, because they had made a big deal about it. TMZ had reported it or whatever, you know.
Variety. They had Variety. They had a real... semi-outlet.
They'll call Variety and send them a press release and then say that you discovered that, right? Yeah, right. So the pay-per-view. So, yeah, it was, you know, I will tell you, there were certain things that I thought were just, like, for instance, Gunther. I think Gunther was going to beat Drew McIntyre with no problem. And it was pretty, it was a good match, you're right. But it did, you know, it did end much the same way as the last time I think they wrestled each other. So, same for, Seth Rollins. When you know it's like you kind of felt that those guys weren't going to lose to the guys they were taking on. So, but it was, you know, it was an interesting pair. Not the greatest. I mean, it did have some moments. I mean, yeah, you know, when you have a cash in, you know, especially I think it's women's cash in is like 100% title.
It is. It's still 100%.
Yeah. So it's like that. Yeah, and it's like so that happens. You know, and that may, but. When that last match was going, it was just going so late. And it's like, why can't they speed this up a little bit? You know, I don't know was it the Battle Royale, the Slim Jim Battle Royale that slowed everything down?
No, the only thing that slowed everything down was that match. That match, from the time they first announced Jimmy Uso to the end of the match, was 54 minutes or something like that.
Oh, my God. So it makes sense then, you know, it's like anybody being up that late may have fallen asleep, so...
We forgot to even mention the one of 72 main events they had. Brock and Cody was fantastic.
Yeah, and what do you think about Brock at the end, kind of going into business for himself, as we hear now what he did with Cody there?
I don't think that really counts as going into business for yourself. That's Brock has good timing on things and has kind of a mind for it at this point. And that was a very nice gesture to do for someone who's going to be the face of the company.
Well, Cody looked kind of like disturbed a little bit when it was going on. You know, he's like,
it's because he didn't know it was off the cuff.
Nobody knew.
And Brock wants to be Cowboy Brock because he had a lot of fun being Cowboy Brock. So
yeah, he wants to be a face. I know he like, yeah, he liked people cheering him, and he probably made more money in merchandise sales. I don't know. When he was a real bad guy, I bet he was killing merchandise too, you know?
Oh, yeah, especially when he was beating up John Cena.
Yeah, when he was wearing every city he went to, it was Suplex City, you know? You could sell T-shirts every stop, you know, and they did, so. But, yeah, so what? Now at the very end, we had Jimmy come out and super kick Jay, and once again, it's another traditional Roman Reigns defense where, you know, somebody freaking, you know, gets in the way, or someone, you know, helps him cheat and wins the match, and then it's over. And so then we had Jay, I guess, you know, really turning on the waterworks there in the ring at the very end, you know, because it was the one chance. But were you satisfied with that ending? I mean, that was, you know, I mean, we knew he wasn't going to win the title. I mean,
yeah, there was no chance that Jay was going to win. I don't like the recurring hooded, you know, Bloodline or former Bloodline member showing up. I think this one's going to be different. I think we're going to see that tomorrow night. That this had, Roman had that, you know, puzzled look on his face when Jimmy was walking away afterwards. So I think they're going to play that up, that Roman didn't know this was going to happen. It's strictly between the brothers, so Roman can bow out of that part. And then maybe face a real megastar like LA Knight or something.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, LA Knight did win something with that battle royale. So,
you want a year's supply of Slim Jims?
Apparently so. You know, we need to hear an ooh yeah from him now, I guess, you know, or, yeah.
I mean, they just got Macho Man in the commercials. So,
it's true. It's true. So, yeah. So it does allow Roman to go do some other things. I guess we'll have to find out tomorrow. Apparently Roman got hurt in a match, though. I heard that.
But it's nothing serious.
But he's still going to be on TV tomorrow night to address whatever. Maybe that's when Rikishi comes out. I don't know, you know. But it is getting old when, like, Solo was the one who interfered in the last match, you know, in the Cody match at WrestleMania, the big match that allowed.
He also did it with Drew back at Clash of the Castle last year.
Yeah,
he first showed up.
Yeah, so, but overall, how'd you feel for it being a SummerSlam? Was it, you know, I mean, listen, we teased things about The Rock, and then we saw a guy come out with a hood on, and it was, you know, it's like,
it was not the size of The Rock.
No, you could definitely tell it wasn't him. So, but overall, what'd you think of the, like, what, you know, compared to, I think last year's SummerSlam was better, I'm guessing, just because. I stayed awake through the whole thing.
I mean, like I said, that last part dragged. I was ready to go to bed when that was over. But I liked the way they set up the arena or the field.
Yeah.
I liked that they didn't have the big video screen. They had them come down. I liked that they've been doing that for these bigger pay-per-views because they're selling those tickets, which is, you know, newer to them. It hasn't been that way, you know, for the last 10 years or so. So, it wasn't bad. It wasn't the best thing. But it wasn't bad. I'm not going to go rewatch it. It's not going to be one of my favorite SummerSlams, but it's not anything. I mean, it's not one of their old lower tier ones that they would do where it just be awful.
Yeah, yeah, you know, or a mishmash of matches. But, you know, I'll give them credit. I mean, they, you know, they got 59,000 people in that arena. And they were loud, and I'll tell you, even if I was there, I probably would have been drifting off in that last match, you know. But you think when it started, it's like, oh, it's not going to go that late, is it? No, it went long, it went super long. But
I was hoping for one of those 3 to 3.5 hour ones that they've been doing, and it definitely carried past that.
I didn't watch any of the pre-show either, so I don't know if they had any. They didn't have any matches, I don't think.
No, they're not doing matches on their pre-show currently.
Yeah, so they, you know, so overall, yeah. What did you guys in the chat room think? You know, I mean, was it? You know, I mean, did it hold up to other SummerSlams? Maybe, I don't know. I'm gonna watch it again just because I did watch it after, even though I fell asleep during it, but just so that I, you know, could, you know, get those exciting moments, like when Logan Paul's buddy came out and they cheated, you know, and you know,
his buckshot lariat from inside the ring to outside the ring was pretty solid as well.
Yeah, you figure he wanted to like get at least one near Ricochet. What Ricochet did when he jumped out of the ring and landed in front of him and did like a superhero landing or yeah, whatever, you know, he wanted something like that back, and they were gonna try for it. So, you know, Logan Paul gets a win, you know, finally, and now he's going off to fight a real, you know, boxing match or something like that. I figure, you know, I don't know how long he'd be here if he kept losing every match, you know, so. But, yeah, there was, I don't know, you could have been more surprises. I mean, except for, you know, the money in the bank getting cashed in. That's always a surprise. And especially, when, you know, after a women's match, I didn't really see it coming. But then when Bianca Belair got hurt, it's like, oh, I was waiting for it to come, you know?
Yeah. I was just hoping that them having Bianca hurt a leg wasn't setting up Charlotte to win again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised Charlotte, you know, I mean, that, you know, did not win, and neither did, you know, Asuka. So it was, you know, it was a clean finish, you know. So let's talk about some other stuff. So yeah, so they follow up Monday, and it's like it allows them to reset everything, I guess. I don't know. But that's when it came out about Logan Paul. Like the news was, he announced he's going to return to boxing for the first time in 2 years. He's got some guy named Dylan. I was going to say Danish, but it's Danis, I think, in Manchester, England, at the AO Arena. And it's going to be on pay-per-view and Dazen or whatever, you know, that is. I don't have that. But the guy's an MMA fighter coming into boxing. So he's like taking after his brother or something, you know?
Well, they can't fight real boxers because they lose. They'll lose to, you know, top-tier boxers that would draw the money. So they bring in MMA guys who aren't going to do it. Like, Nate Diaz could have choked out Jake Paul if it was an actual MMA fight. He had him in a guillotine at one point and then broke it because, you know, it was a boxing match, but there was no chance that Nate Diaz was going to win a boxing match against Jake Paul.
Yeah. Well, apparently I found out that Nick there was hurt too, going into the fight. He had hurt his knee, and he had like very little flexibility. So it makes sense now why, you know, not that he would have outboxed, you know, Mr. Paul there, but
I do like that Logan showed up in his ring gear because he took a direct flight to Dallas from Detroit after finishing his match.
Yeah, well, he made it because it was a main event, so I think they you know, he had a while before, much like EOS or Dakota Kai coming in late too as well. Dakota Kai landed during the show. Really didn't get there. She knew that match was on, you know, it was going to happen towards the end of the show. So she, you know, she was, the show was on when she landed, and they had a car waiting for her. So, yeah, you know, now let's talk about a little AEW from this week. We're getting a little bit more All In stuff. We got a few matches now announced technically for All In, which I don't know. Will it sell me on it? I don't know. I deal with this one other thing, actually, I wanted to mention before we even get into that. AEW Collision on Saturday was head-to-head with SummerSlam. And they dropped almost 300, a little over 300,000 viewers from the week before, which they've been building a good numbers. They've been putting good numbers on AEW Collision. You know, I mean, very satisfying numbers for the network and everything. But when they were head to head with SummerSlam, they still drew 400,000, but it wasn't quite the 739,000 that they had the week before. So, I suspected that. You know, in fact, I did watch it back later. You know, but I mean, unless you don't. I mean, Peacock's so cheap, anybody could have it. You know, it's not like the price of a pay per view is keeping any. Because in the olden days, if it really was a pay per view and you had to buy it for like $40 or $50, it might have actually had more people because some people can't afford that much. You know.
So from what I was hearing, this wasn't even available. SummerSlam. So they still do have, you know, traditional pay-per-views that you could buy it as. I don't know why anybody would, but you can. But this one, because of the Jake Paul boxing match, was not available on all pay-per-view networks.
Really? So interesting.
People would have been out of it. Probably would have been a different day.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting, because still, Collision, you know, took a beating, and it was a pretty good show. When I watched it back, we got to see the CM Punk Ricky Starks match that they've been building up to since they've started Collision, and Ricky Steamboat was there, and Jim Ross made an appearance. Nobody knew he was going to be there, except for the people who knew he was going to be there. So, but I didn't know until I was watching it back that Jim Ross had showed up to announcing the main event. It was nice, you know, and there was NFL preseason on too against it as well. So there was a lot of things, but I give them a lot of credit. I think Collision did well, 417,000 for TNT. I'm sure that they were thrilled with it, especially if they have any idea what happens in the world of wrestling. And, you know, when wrestling's on, the wrestling fans go to where it is a lot of times, you know. So, but it was, hey, did you watch Collision? I'm sure you did what I did. Watch it next day later.
I watched it back later. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I also
watched it back. And again, FTR was fantastic.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean, FTR, last night on Dynamite was fantastic. You know, there were a brief appearance at the end of a match.
Yeah.
I think that, I didn't catch Rampage until I watched it with Collision. And the parking lot brawl, I mean, were they going to just call that a bloodbath from now on? Because that's all I saw is like bleed. It was almost as bad as the match the week before where all I saw was blood.
I mean, any Moxley match could be that. He's in a regular tag match this week and he was bleeding.
And they're beating each other up on cars, smashing people through glass windows. I'm sure it was, you know, it had to have been Hollywood glass, I'm guessing. But, it was, So I watched those back to back, that and Collision. And it's like, I just felt I don't know. Maybe I'm not the fan who's the target who wants to see, you know, the Crimson Mask on everybody. But it kind of reminded me the way that the cars in a circle, like of when they did that in WCW with Steven Regal, which I'd mentioned last week, Steven Regal and or William Regal, whatever he was going by back then, and Fit Finley. And then, but you know, I knew that we had to have the minivan appearance during it, you know.
Of course.
You know, Mom too being there as well. So, it was okay. I mean, I don't know. Sorry if you're a wrestler and you're hearing this. I just don't like, you know, I mean, you guys bleed in the first 2 minutes of the match and then you just throw each other's around in cars the rest of that time. I don't know. It's acquired taste, you know? So, I mean, you know, but, you know, maybe blood means numbers. I don't know. So, but yeah, it was, let's see. Ricky Steamboat. Oh, yeah. Ricky Steamboat was awesome. He took a bump as a referee from the outside. Yeah, that was pretty cool that, you know,
He can still sell too. He was selling big time when he was getting whipped through the belt.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe that. That surprised me, you know.
Is it gonna And he looks great for 70.
Yeah, no, is it gonna set up another match where he's gonna come? I mean, he pretty much got whipped in a ring with a belt. That's a match, isn't it? You know? But Ricky Steamboat is super awesome, and I was good to see him. It's good to see some of these people who are showing. Rob Van Dam. I mean, I have no problem with Rob Van Dam this past Wednesday. He got all his stuff in. You know, yeah. Let me get my stuff in. That's all I need. I'll lose. You just gotta let me get my stuff in first. You know, and but he's still flexible. He can still do it. I thought he had a little tummy going on there, but it didn't matter. He's still, you know. You know, I hate having him, like, lose, you know? I mean, I like Rob Van Dam. I don't want to see him lose.
No, I didn't want to see – I kind of was hoping he would win that as well. But, of course, they got to go with the newly turned
FTW, Jack Perry to, FTW champion. Yeah.
I did like the chair throw in the ref's face, so that was something.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That was, you know, talk a little bit about AEW on Dynamite. It starts off with the, looks apparently the JAS is broken up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, it, you know, I was looking when we get to, when I start going through like the previews for other matches, there's one in there I'm going to mention that I think I've seen before. So, but yeah, it was a fun show on Wednesday night. And, you definitely, let's see, hold on a second. I have it up here on, on the window here, just so we can go back and talk about things that happened during it. Yeah, we got the Bucks versus, I don't know about the Bucks and Hardy match. What did you think of that?
It's for what the Hardys can do now. That's what you're going to get. So, I mean, I wasn't clamoring for it. I don't think we necessarily needed it, but it is what it is. They wanted to do the match. They did the match.
Yeah.
It wasn't awful. It wasn't great. We get our trilogy at All In.
Okay. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. Well, FTR.
A year after it should have been booked.
Yeah. FTR. I like how FTR came on after that. So, MJF and Adam Cole, you know, go to the trampoline park. Interesting. I like how now, now after this past week, MJF and Adam Cole will be not only be wrestling each other at All In, but they'll be wrestling on the pre-show to against the Ring of Honor Tag Champions because it's a title that Adam Cole never had. I think that's interesting. You know what? I mean, I could see them winning, and then I could see him taking MJF's title, and then I could see, you know, and that would just, you know, maybe a good time to, you know, have the split happen. I don't know. What are you thinking about these little vignettes? You like seeing them being kids with dodgeballs?
It was semi-entertaining. It wasn't anything we needed to, like, it didn't need to happen. But, I mean, you get some MJF trash talk to kids, so that's something. His trash talk later in the night was even better. When he thought they were going into a promo battle and he dropped that Hogan line, I almost lost it.
Oh, yeah, more white stuff than Hogan. Yeah.
If you were just a little thinner and a little whiter, Hogan would have snorted you in the 80s.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Yeah, that was a good one. If I was still doing the drops on the show, if we were back on the radio, that would have definitely showed up on this week's show. So let's see.
Oh, one thing we forgot earlier with the JAS stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot who said it, but someone definitely said the line, "Now I see why Kevin Steen doesn't like you."
Oh yeah. It was one of the tag dudes.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, on his way out of the ring, he said it. So we're getting a build up for we got a build up this past Wednesday with a new match added to All In with Darby Allin and Sting taking on Swerve and AR Fox. And I kind of find that an interesting storyline so far. I don't hate. I like AR Fox a lot, and it's fun watching him heal out. So.
Shouldn't they be in jail?
You know, maybe.
Isn't it a casket match as well?
Yeah. I mean, you know, but this is the world of pro wrestling. It's in a snow globe. You know, it's in a snow globe.
Yeah.
So we are safe. Things that didn't work so well this past week is they're doing a four-way women's match at All In for the women's title, and the Bunny's in it.
No, the Bunny has a chance to be in it.
There's a chance, yeah. It's got to do a qualifying match, qualifying time. You have to beat.
Yeah, I think she's got Britt Baker next week.
Okay, so. That, you know, I don't know. Why don't they just do a one-on-one? I'd even be happy with a rematch, you know, from, you know, with the last champ. So
I think they're not doing the one-on-one because they're doing the whole rematch clause, which I thought they weren't supposed to have. But I don't think they want Saraya to do a one-on-one match yet in okay. such high stakes.
Okay, yeah, they want to squeeze Saraya in, obviously. And You know, and then we so we get
so oh, there's never been a more obvious setup to who the four women are that are going to be in that match.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the funny thing is like Sheeta got to wrestle in the main event of Wednesday night's show against Anna Jay, and I thought that, you know, it's like it was kind of interesting because I don't know, you don't often get to see women in the main event of Dynamite because that's their number one show, you know. And I mean, Sheeta's a great wrestler, and they had to rush to the finish. If you, I don't know, I felt like it was like going in a slow pace, and then all of a sudden they rushed to the finish. So
yeah, it looked like they had to cut something towards the end.
They're like, "Hey, we're running out of time. Go to the finish," or, you know, or something like that. Someone whispered in their ear, I'm sure. So, and then the other thing, and that was the main event of the show. But before that, we got Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli versus Zero and Rey Fénix, Penta and Fénix, and that was okay, except for the fact that I don't know why they wanted to take his mask off him, but that seems to be like a common thing for some reason, and then put it on Claudio and have him walk around.
The thing I'm not getting is they're saying that Claudio is the one who hurt Pac, but he wrestled the next Dynamite against Gravity, which is where he actually got hurt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh.
So they're, you know, they're playing it up like, oh, he got hurt in this match. It's like, he had a match afterwards and was fine till after that match. So I don't know why they're trying to make us forget that. Much like Gravity forgot Pac, we're supposed to forget about how he got hurt.
Yeah, it's a shame, though, too, because, man, that dude had difficult times getting into the country for at one point, and now he's having a difficult time staying healthy. You know, you were going to lose out on a lot of great quality matches from him, you know, which is kind of a bummer.
And he's apparently, according to what they're saying, I don't know how true it is, that he's going to miss All In, which is a shame.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bryan Danielson's missing it too. So it's like, yes, some big names missing this pay-per-view. Who knows? They have two pay-per-views in a week, right? Is that what it is? One, and then one's a week later?
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, they already have one match for that second pay-per-view, by the way. We mentioned it last week, but it's like they got to create a lot. And I guess maybe the main event of that may be the rematch between MJF and Adam Cole, like the return clause or whatever. You know, it could be. I mean, it wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But who knows? I mean, I don't know. I'm just, you know, it's fun. They're fun kind of doing the fun stuff, going out and trying to impress people by, you know, throwing dodgeballs at kids and everything. But,
the thing is though, it's popping their ratings. It's actually doing something really for them. So yeah.
It's every time that MJF's alone, that's when he's like kind of evil to people. Like when like the dodgeballs and everything. And then Adam Cole shows up and says, don't be doing that, you know? So Adam Cole's like the angel on his shoulder.
You know? Because we all know Adam Cole's one that's turning. They're setting it up.
Well, they had the Roddy thing again, too, last night with him, you know.
And the Kingdom came out. They're setting it all up.
Oh, yeah. There's two things going on here that are going to coincide at All In. Yes. So I kind of want to go on. I kind of want to watch it now. So maybe we should get together for that, you know. So I've come to the point of the show where I'm just going to go through news because there's a lot of news. I didn't even realize how much there was until I was like editing it tonight. And
yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So let's go through some news. We have, you know, some ratings, some injuries and some other stuff, but we'll start off with an injury. Sonya Deville had reportedly suffered a torn ACL. You know, of course, Sonya Deville is co-champion with Chelsea Green, the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, and she's out indefinitely. The injury occurred during the duo's non-title loss to Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair on July 28th edition of WWE SmackDown. That's a shame. And Sonya Deville has even come out and said the thing about the curse of the belts, because didn't that happen to Liv Morgan last time?
She got hurt. Yeah. Everybody. I mean, there's something with everybody.
Yeah. Raquel. Raquel got hurt too. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, so Sonya. So I believe it's legit with Sonya Deville saying that, you know, about the curse of.
Well, they announced it and everything on they announced the injury on Monday, and they were, everybody thought they were going to announce what they're going to do with the belts, but I think they're trying, they've got to find a way to keep them on Chelsea and somebody.
Yeah. Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's probably ready to come back. I see her new haircut, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like a lot of hair on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a lot. So, yeah. Some other ratings I'll mention quickly, then we'll move on. Friday's AEW Rampage with the parking lot brawl actually drew almost 100,000 more people for the week before. So maybe you're correct. Maybe people do like, you know, I mean, there are people that are, you know, kids maybe. Young. I don't know what the breakdown is. Oh, I do. 18 to 49 demo was a 0.15 rating. Or no, that was the... that was from the August 5th show. So that, and it was four, you know, so it said the number was up from the 324,000 viewership from the previous week that gave viewers a hook with the parking lot brawl. So now what are we going to do? Get blood matches every Friday night now, you know, probably, you know, just got to keep keep them drinking lots of water and keep the fluids moving, take lots of aspirin before the matches start. So, Ric Flair style-y. So Monday Night Raw had a good bump from SummerSlam. It moved up, not quite. It's a little still under 2 million, but still much higher than the week before, the last show before they went to the pay-per-view. So that's it. You know, wrestling's had a good rating week, even though I did mention that Collision did drop down a bit just because it was going head-to-head with a SummerSlam, which I think anything would have. Yes. Some other news. Kairi Sane is reportedly returning to WWE, believing that she'd be returning to the company after wrapping up dates in Japan recently. She announced on Monday that she'll take an indefinite leave of absence at the end of September 2023. Excuse me. The expected time frame for WWE return is in November. Kairi's scheduled to compete for Sendai Girls on September 2nd and All Japan on September 8th. And I know that AEW probably was involved in some negotiations too, because Kairi was going to be free, but Kairi is going back to WWE, hopefully not to NXT, maybe to, you know, SmackDown or Raw.
I can see her being on SmackDown or Raw and doing something. I mean, you can already tell a little bit with some of the people showing up again that Vince might actually be on a medical leave this time, with his neck brace when he shows up in court, because he, I mean, you got JD McDonagh back this week. He got, you know, they brought in, Kota Kai for that. That's just that one spot. It's all, you know, we got Indy Hartwell on TV.
That's right. Yeah. It's been a while since Indy's been on, you know, so gotta watch out for these injuries that have been happening, but you're right. It's probably a good time, man. Things are going to start picking up, and they did kind of go in different direction on Monday Night Raw with now, like, you know, I think it looks like we're going to see maybe a little bit of a push for
Nakamura.
No, Nakamura, he kind of turned a little bit. I think he did turn at the end of the show.
He attacked Seth Rollins, so he definitely turned.
Yeah. But I'm thinking more of like Gable, man, because Gable got a win where he's going to get an opportunity to take on Gunther. I mean, I don't know how many times you do something like this before you actually let someone beat Gunther. I don't know, but...
he's got 30 days left until he can lose.
30 days left until he can lose.
And then as soon as he passes the honky-tonk, man, I don't care.
Yeah, and it was interesting because Nakamura, we talked about him getting a little bit pushed. He did kind of, you know, he went heel on Seth Rollins, but he also got a win over Bronson Reed, who the last time they wrestled, Bronson, I think, cheated but beat him, you know. It was
last time they wrestled, Bronson won because Ciampa attacked Bronson.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It was thrown out, I think, yeah. And it was, yeah. So... but, you know, the monster, the big Bronson Reed, I believe they call him, finally gets a loss to Nakamura, which is surprising. Nakamura sold to everybody and lost to everybody, and now it's starting to turn around, which is pretty good. Did you get the whole joke about drinking lemonade with the announcers with Becky Lynch? I didn't get it.
Too far. You had to follow her Twitter over the weekend to be able to get that.
Okay, I was going to say something about making lemonade or making, you know.
Triple H in the press conference beforehand, I think, because of that match getting cut. Or some people airing their grievances said, you got to make lemonade out of the lemons you have or something like that. And so she brought down lemonade and then did the Triple H spit of it at the end.
Yeah, and they all were drinking it too. So they were playing a little AEW there, playing up to the smart fan, right? Or the ones who follow at least social media. I don't know. I don't know legitimately if there's any legitimacy behind her being mad about that thing. I mean, maybe she's mad about it, but, you know, there's – you know, the boss says what goes, you know, and so, you know.
Rhea was so mad she got engaged to an AEW wrestler.
I was going to say, Rhea wasn't even, didn't even have a match, you know, and it's like, how do you have a pay-per-view without having your women's champ, you know, wrestle? But there you go, you know, and then Dom got to wrestle, so we did get to see Rhea, at least. Rhea helped out a little bit with Dom on that.
Dom just showed up on the side. Dom didn't wrestle.
Oh, that's right.
The only one who wrestled from them was Finn.
That's right. Yeah, but, you know, they were all involved at one point or another, or trying to. But yeah. And what do you think about Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, the MMA style WWE match?
The only thing I actually hated about it was that they did the 10 count after the knockdown or whatever. Okay. Because that's not MMA rules.
Well,
it would follow up there.
I think it's pancreas rules. It's one of those MMA companies, but it's not UFC, that's for sure.
But worked MMA doesn't work in wrestling. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't what anybody wanted to see, and it wasn't a match, really, it seemed like anybody there wanted to see.
I'll be honest with you, ground and pound did not look real, okay? I mean...
Well, no, that's because you can't really... That's why it doesn't work. MMA doesn't really work like that.
Yeah.
But Ronda went out.
Yeah, yeah.
But over Shayna on the way out.
I'm guessing we won't see Ronda ever, maybe again, because Ronda, you know, was putting over her best friend, you know? So, I think that... maybe that's not a bad thing. A lot of people were like, I guess I didn't hear the chance, but they were saying some mean things to her. You can't wrestle and stuff like that.
Well, when Shayna came out Monday and said she took out Ronda Rousey, they were chanting, "Thank you, Shayna."
Yeah, that too. Yeah, there's a lot of because Ronda only learned to a certain point, and then it just
the funniest thing I saw all week though was Ronda did an in character interview, and no one. Got that it was in character because they, you know, the people that picked it up weren't reading between the lines. She goes, I got into wrestling because of Shayna. Now there's nothing left for me there to do.
Yeah. I saw that.
Everyone's like, oh, you know, she said there's nothing. It's like, no, you're an idiot. That's all I'm saying there. That was a in character comment from her.
Yeah. Whatever character she was, I mean, you know, I mean, she was
not very good at distinguishing, but you could definitely tell when she would make fun of the fans, the internet fans and stuff like that. It's all character work.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I think that she sometimes when she, you know, is trying to play a tough girl, because I don't buy she's a tough girl. I did when she was in UFC, when she would do those interviews. But I don't buy the tough girl in WWE, you know, it's like, you know, because any real any real UFC fighter could take anybody out in the WWE in seconds.
Oh, yeah.
In seconds. So, I mean, and that's just the legitimacy of how tough all those women are. So, yeah, and so that's why I never really, you know, I don't know. But good luck to Ronda wherever she may be. So, and who knows, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she will come back. I know one thing.
I don't think it'll be anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think the fans want it, that's for sure. So, some things about SummerSlam. Slim Jim sponsorship did huge numbers for WWE, which has really helped them drive their revenue over the last year. They were ecstatic to have LA Knight as the poster boy for Slim Jim's. So I can see that this is going to be part of his gimmick now. I don't know. He's not going to be out throwing Slim Jim's, is he?
I don't think so. But he showed up on Raw as a SmackDown wrestler on Monday, so
he did. Yeah, Raw. Yeah, Yeah, you know, I mean, people love him. You know what? People have organically gotten him over. I saw an interview he did with Corey Graves on Corey Graves' podcast. And Corey Graves, he was telling about how all his catchphrases are things that he used to say anyways all the time. And it's funny. He said just if you say them enough over and over and over, people start attaching them to him. And that's obviously he's been doing yeah a lot longer than just the character now on WWE TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, if you ever saw him in Impact Wrestling, that was his thing, too. And he had the dummy button, which I'm sure we'll see someday, too, as well, when they give him a talk show. So, because that's how he was doing talk show on Impact. Go back and watch the video. Go to YouTube and watch the old, what was his name? Not L.A. Knight.
Eli Drake.
And that was what he came out of when he was He was part of the when they had the NXT wrestlers come on WWE, and they had like the one established wrestler, and they would pair him up with an NXT guy. He was one of those guys at one time that was paired up. I think it was when Daniel Pewter was on there. You know, remember how long ago that was?
That was like, the Miz's season.
Yeah, we're talking like 14, 15 years ago, something like
that.
And Ryback. I remember the name very well, and I remember, I don't know. He's an interesting guy. I think he's going to – will he take it off of Roman Reigns?
No. Yeah, no, there's one person taking off Roman Reigns, and it's happening in Philadelphia next year.
Cody. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I agree. I mean, we're waiting on it. If you're catching us late, Io Sky cashed in the Money in the Bank on Bianca Belair, became the new women's champ at SummerSlam. It's not certain how far ahead Sky was told about the cash in, but reports are that it was not a last minute decision. And I also heard the same thing about, Jimmy Uso coming out that they made during that day that could have changed where he didn't come out. They decided to have him come out and interfere at the end of SummerSlam. So the long-term booking, that's what this is. And Vince McMahon still has final say aspects over SummerSlam despite what Triple H and Vince not being involved. Triple H said Vince was not involved, but like they said, he probably was on the phone and said, he has some good ideas. There's some good stuff. He started putting the adjectives in front of people's names, so now you get Big Bronson Reed, and there's a couple guys that now have adjectives involved in their name. So, and that's Vince McMahon's little addition. So,
Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom, yeah. Now, speaking of additions, this week, tomorrow night on Rampage, you're going to see Orange Cassidy versus Johnny TV for the AEW International Championship. Saraya versus Sky Blue. The winner of that gets the challenge for the AEW Women's title at All In. There we go. So where it's going to happen. Darby Allin versus Brian Cage. Haven't we seen this before? Oh, no. I was confused. Darby Allin's about the same size as Orange Cassidy. So whenever – I know Orange Cassidy beat Brian Cage, so I'm pretty sure Darby Allin will beat the Ultimate Warrior, Brian Cage, in the match. So – they're also going to announce some more matches for August 16th, Dynamite. So, and if you wonder what's going to be on Dynamite next week, well, I can tell you, for as much as I know, Adam Cole and AEW World Champ MJF will discuss the All-In main event. Hopefully they do it, at a go-kart place or maybe a pool hall or something. I guess we'll find out. Kenny Omega has a sit-down interview with Jim Ross, and they kind of did a thing with Kenny yet last night on AEW. People want to talk to him, want to know. We got the Bunny versus Britt Baker for the winner of that challenge for the AEW Women's title at All In. And we've got Darby Allin and Nick Wayne versus the Gates of Agony. I'm sure there'll be more. It's a two-hour show. I thought this piece of news was pretty interesting. You remember Izzy Moreno, right?
Yes.
The little girl who used to be at NXT when they were
the Bailey fan. Yeah. Bailey's biggest fan.
Yeah. When they were at Full Sail, she was there every week. Well, Izzy Moreno, 16 years old, is making her pro wrestling debut this Saturday against Jasmine Allure. You might remember Izzy from her time as Bailey's passionate super fan in NXT. She cried for Bailey. You can see her, and that's why we get the, you know, we get the hugging section. That's where that came from. You know, I'm pretty sure that's where it came from, because when they were doing the hugging, you know, it's interesting. The hugger gimmick, you can say it was corny if you want to, but this is literally the stuff that dreams are made of. That's what's quoted from her. If WWE is smart, and this is someone's opinion, she will be in NXT in the next couple of years, sort of an answer to the prodigy Nick Wayne. Maybe Izzy can even turn Bayley back to the good side. I just remember her. She'd do the hair out of the side of her head the same way and everything. Yep. And she had a little purple sign, you know. So look at that, man. People get older, man. Now, I remember Bayley was a kid, and it was one of the WrestleManias where she was like meeting stars and stuff, and they had like all this video of her when she was like 12.
Pretty much everybody in WWE at this point has video of themselves when they were like 12 meeting different wrestlers.
True. And then even half the guys from AEW meeting WWE guys too, like MJF and as a little kid and stuff. So some more news. WWE Women's World Champion Rhea Ripley and AEW World Trios Champion Buddy Matthews are now engaged to be married. Ripley took to Instagram, this was last weekend, to reveal, or no, this was, it says tonight, but I think it was a couple days ago, to reveal that Matthews popped the question, and she said, yes. Ripley included a photo with a look at her engagement rings, and this was a quote from her, 1,000 times yes, pure effing happiness, heart emoji. So Matthews also posted a photo from the afternoon at the beach. He captioned the photo with "my sunshine in sunshine." What? I don't know, man. You can't be doing this when Dom is, you know, I thought Dom was her man. I thought Dom, you know, I mean, what?
He's her Dom apparently, and allows this to happen.
Yeah,
it's absolutely hilarious, because right before this whole gimmick started with the Rhea stuff, Dom announced his engagement to his girl, who was next to his sister at WrestleMania.
Oh, so that was the girl.
The whole thing was going on.
That was the girl. Okay, I was wondering who that was. So interesting. So, you know, Dom. So, but you know, it's like real world WWE world. So I'm sure they'll probably completely ignore it. It looks like Matthews chose Cocoa Beach in Florida for his proposal, near the Cocoa Beach Pier. There's no word yet on when the wedding will take place. The Australian grapplers met while working for WWE and went public with their relationship in 2022. So, sorry, guys. Rhea is taken, and she's getting married. So let's see. What else do I got? That's the updated lineup for All In. We've got AEW World Champion MJF versus Adam Cole. They celebrated, you know, if you watched last week or last night's Dynamite. We got FTR versus the Young Bucks. I loved it. I loved how they announced that last night as well on Dynamite. AEW Women's Champion Shida versus to be announced versus Toni Storm. And we kind of figured out who probably is going to be. And Sting and Darby Allin versus Swerve Strickland and AR Fox. Let's see. The next Title Tuesday edition of AEW Dynamite's been announced. AEW has confirmed the Dynamite will air on Tuesday, October 10th at the Cable Dahmer Arena in Independence, Missouri. The promotional graphic notes that it will be a Title Tuesday episode. It's like the Dynamite is airing on Tuesday that week due to MLB playoffs. So that's October 18th. Or they did it October 18th last year around this time as well. Show aired live from Cincinnati. And, of course, it had Jon Moxley. So we're going to get a Tuesday night. It'd be fun to see them, you know, what happens in just ratings-wise, see what happens between NXT and AEW Dynamite head-to-head. We know that Dynamite beat NXT when they were on the same night head-to-head. But, you know, I've been watching NXT ratings, and it's been going up. I mean, it's been going up.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's on its way. I think Shawn Michaels is doing some good stuff in there, and which is actually drawing ratings. So,
and like the week that Dom won the North American title, they averaged over 800,000 people for the first time in forever.
Yeah. And it's been, the numbers have been really good. So, you know, we'll see what happens when we get to October 10th there. We'll see what happens when they're going head to head. So just out news out today, Team 3D will reunite this September. The WWE Hall of Famers will. And I thought, doesn't D-Von work for WWE?
No, he left a year or two ago.
Oh, okay. The WWE Hall of Famers will team up again at the 1,000th episode of Impact, which takes place on September 9th and will be taped at the Westchester County Center in White Plains, New York. This will be the first time Bully Ray and D-Von had joined forces in 7 years. So we're gonna. If you have big Team 3D and you have Access TV, you'll get to see the 1,000th episode of Impact, and you'll get to see, I'm sure it'll just be like, it won't be anything serious, you know, or maybe it will, but I doubt it. It'll be something, you know, just be, they'll honor them as well. They'll honor them. So that's interesting. I don't know. Maybe Bully Ray can tell us to get out the hell out of his way again or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or shove a marker up someplace or another like that. I just saw that Tony D'Angelo and Stax, who are the NXT champions, are taking on the Dyad next week on NXT. And apparently Dyad is like working, you know, they're on the last few months of their contract. They did ask to be released. They were not released. And now this will probably be the last high profile match they get on WWE TV. Well, they're taking on the champions. Tony D'Angelo and Stax, who are faces, which is, surprises me, but people like people coming out of jail, I guess. I don't know, you know. Oh, he was put in. It was phony.
He was framed.
Yeah, he was framed. So, I agree. So, that's all the news I've got. Is there anything else we should talk about? What's that?
Something that came out just today. Apparently, so Bray Wyatt's working his way back. Apparently, he's almost there, and they do have some creative for when he comes back. But apparently this illness he's had was both career and life threatening.
Oh, kind of like when Roman Reigns, you know, in his leukemia thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, unless he comes out and says it, we're not going to know what it is because of HIPAA laws and all that.
Yeah.
But I mean, Keith Lee had something similar when he was out sick. He almost died from COVID. So it's scary to hear that after the fact. Thankfully he's doing better. So, but he's probably not too far off of a return.
Really? Yeah, I saw that. You know, I don't think there was any dispute between him and the WWE. I think it was just, yeah, he had some health problems, you know?
Yeah.
You know, hopefully Bray comes through okay. I know that we've also heard he doesn't want to go back and rehash everything he's done already, but they want him to, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, it could be as soon as this Friday.
Wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing. I mean, his name has come up quite a bit more often online. So I think sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire, you know. And, I would love to see Bray Wyatt back, you know. I mean, he's one of the guys, good friend of John Huber. He's very good friends with their family as well. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, they probably have an idea. Maybe we'll ask them. No, I don't want to know. It's personal stuff. You know, I mean, who knows, but, I hope he's healthy enough to come back when he does. He doesn't really need to do much. Did he wrestle that much when he was back the last time? Anyways, two matches, I think.
No, something small like that. He was doing house shows though.
It was more true. And it was more, story build up on TV. You know, they gave him a lot of time on SmackDown when he was first came back to do like, you know, the character build up and stuff. And, I mean, Uncle Howdy's still there. I know that. So yeah, I did see that today that they had mentioned it was like a serious health problem. I kind of believe that. It doesn't, you know, it makes complete sense. And maybe someday we'll find out about it, but hopefully we'll see him soon. Maybe this week, maybe this Friday, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Trying to think of anything else to talk about. I think that's about it. So we went through the show. The least when we have like just Danger and I here, it tends to go faster because when we add another couple people into the mix, it gets stretched out a little bit. But I will hopefully say that next a week from Saturday is when we'll be back at 10 a.m. So I'm pretty sure that day because I definitely have nothing planned except for later that day to go get fit for a tux, I believe. So, is that correct, Danger?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's a Saturday the 19th. So, yeah, cool, man. Well, you have a great week, and everybody, thank you so much for checking in with us. Oh, Dark Side of the Ring, you brought it up again. Tim was asking us about Dark Side of the Ring. I have all of them on DVR that I haven't watched yet, and the ones I haven't watched yet are the 2002 Bash at the Beach. I haven't watched that one, though I caught some at the end of it. I also haven't watched the Marty Jannetty, but it just did terrible, I heard. It did in the ratings.
I wanted it to be 2 hours, so.
I heard it was just terrible. And then, you know, and then I think those are the two that I missed. I did watch Abdullah the Butcher this week. That was tough to get through. At least they kept the thing going on the whole time. They didn't have to, like, change to somebody else's story for the last 15 minutes like we did on one of those shows I was watching.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Abdullah's does, kind of does. It changed his direction to one incident.
Yeah, yeah, true, true. And the guy that sued him and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, it did show him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. I couldn't believe how long ago that was. I remember, I didn't think he'd ever be in the WWE Hall of Fame, and he did get inducted. So, but it was interesting. I do like I've got to watch the one on Marty Jannetty just because we've had experiences with him. And I'm just curious. I've heard the stories.
It's I watched it today. It's interesting. I wish it was another hour.
Well, you know what? We need a second part to Marty Jannetty. I think they're running out of topics, so I can't imagine much more to talk about. You know, maybe GCW and like the amount of light bulbs they go through in every show, or you know,
yeah, something. They're stretching at this point.
Yeah, I would like to see do like a historic biography on Gabe. You know, because Gabe's an interesting dude.
Yeah,
we had him on the show. I remember he was very interesting. He has opinions on everything too. So you know. And he will explain his booking, you know, which was even better. So, yeah, do something like that, guys, if you're following this. But I'm going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. I appreciate Danger Boy giving us Thursday night. I appreciate you guys who are in the chat room. Like I said, we'll be back a week from Saturday, same time, which is 10 a.m., same bat channel. We'll see you then. So long.